The following tone is a reference tone, recorded at our operating level.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler, the longest-running trilogy in the history of things that are way longer than three episodes. This is episode 16. Before we get into the introductions, though, I got to ask my lovely co-host, Kelly, a quick question. Kelly, are you familiar, or how familiar are you, with a show called Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the cartoon from Cartoon Network?
So this is a rare moment. Typically, those questions are asked, and I go, oh, I've got like a vague notion of a teeny bit of it, but I am familiar with, although I can never get the name right either, because it's Aqua Teen Force.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, yeah.
Yes, I am familiar.
Okay, great. So I'm sure you may have seen the episode then. I believe it's in season 4. I was rewatching them recently, and there's an episode called The Dickisode, and it is a dick-centric episode where characters are trying to cut people's dicks off and they're building things like spaceships out of dicks. Are you familiar with this episode?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so with that in mind, I was thinking a good idea, and this is we can sort of poll the squatties here to see what they think about it.
Let me stop you right now for a moment. So I hope everyone's been listening closely so far, because what has been said so far is Mike has said, I think that this would be a good idea. Continue.
I think it would be a good idea. We should do a fuckisode on Squat Cobbler. And what I mean by that is we do an episode where we somehow center it around using the word fuck as many times as we can in an episode. Because I thought it was funny that this is sort of like the more explicit version of Nurture and Support. And I feel like Mel has that cornered on Nurture and Support. So I got to throw the gauntlet down, and we needed to do the fuckisode of Squat Cobbler. And the episode needs to be called the fuckisode. And we say fuck as many times in that episode, not this episode, but in that episode of Squat Cobbler. And I think that this is a good time to see how interested the squatties would be in the fuckisode. So they should do something like tweet to us using hashtag like fuck Kelly Tool or fuck Mike or whatever.
Yeah, I think fuck you would be fine. I think we could just, you know, of course that will be a little hard. You know, the sample won't be clean, because we may receive tweets that say that a lot already.
All right, then. So why don't we do hashtag fuck me, and then like fuck me Kelly Tool or something like that.
Well, that's a way. That's, you know, maybe
that's what I think we should do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So, how about fuck yeah? To say, should we
or fuck me Kelly Tool, whatever you want. Some yeah. Sort of fuck and Kelly Tool in the same tweet, okay. And I think we'll get the message. All right, so now that we've got that all squared away. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Belinsky. You can find me at Official Pagan on just about everything in social media.
Hi, I'm Bob Smith, and you can find me on Twitter at BOBSMITH.
Do you think we earned our explicit tag on this episode yet?
I think we've established that, yes.
All right. So we're off of our Alice. This is an off week, so we're not talking about Alice. We're doing our normal recommendation thing. Did you want to go first, or did you want me to take it, since I sort of monopolized the front with the fuckisode?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. Happy to. So my recommendation for this week is a fan film. It's been interesting to see the ongoing development of more and more sophisticated equipment people can have. You can create higher and higher quality types of things. If you're a big fan of a particular movie, novel, etc., you can create some really great fan fiction in video form, and the quality sometimes can be pretty amazing.
Is this The Assistant?
Oh no, we're both recommending The Assistant. I know you would think this almost reaches Assistant level. I think actually I'm going to say this kind of blows Assistant away in terms of production value, because they use more than an iPhone. Fairly certain they do, but this is in the Star Wars camp, and it is the name of the film is called Darth Maul Apprentice. And it's Darth Maul and Donald Trump and Darth Maul. No, it's not. It's not that. It is the somewhat of the pre-story. So when we get to, for those of you who managed to make it through the prequels, Darth Maul appears in Phantom Menace, and he's already pissy in Phantom Menace. He's not a happy guy. He feels we're wronged, and I got a score to settle. And it's never really clarified why he's pissy, but he's not happy, and he's.
Oh, Kelly, watch your language, right? That's the second time you said that in this episode.
I apologize.
It's a family show. Clean
That's
it up.
Right. He's a little ouchy. You know, he appears to be, you know, a little displeased. And you never really get the backstory on kind of why he's kind of got an attitude. So this is basically set as part of his training, part of Darth Sidious's training of Darth Maul and some Jedis who happened to cross paths with him. And you will be hard pressed to, first of all, not believe that the individual playing Darth Maul is not Ray Park. It's an amazing likeness in terms of the skill. And Ray Park is a highly skilled martial arts individual, but so in terms of the kind of acrobatics and those types of things, great. Visually, the facial structure, the makeup, the whole process is that you assume it's Ray Park. It's not. This is actually a student film. So this gentleman was from Germany, and as his kind of master's project, this was his project, was to create Darth Maul Apprentice. It was shot in 18 days, and it is movie quality. It runs just under an hour, maybe closer to 30 minutes, but it's not a 2-hour full-length thing, but it is just outstanding and well-written, makes a lot of sense, visually very cool. Huge amounts of fights in this process. Lots of characters, Jedi characters that are also very well done. Every once in a while, you get a little hint to go, oh, that's probably a student actress there. One or two, maybe a little bit from there. But it is, you would have assumed it came out from LucasArts versus a student film. If you're a Star Wars fan, it is just kind of cool to see what could have been some of the backstory of Darth Maul. We're getting an increasing dose of plenty of cool Star Wars stuff out there already. But if you've not had a chance to see it, best thing is the price is right. You go out to YouTube and search on Darth Maul Apprentice, skip the Donald Trump episode and go to the one that looks more like a Star Wars one. And you can see some kind of pretty cool Star Wars backstory told and very well executed. So if you're a big Star Wars fan, and I am, this is a good one to kind of knock off.
That's a really cool recommendation because I like supporting any kind of independent film project that I can. Fan films are kind of interesting to me. Some of them are incredible. Some of them are terrible and unwatchable. It really runs the gamut of what you get. But I really like the idea of this because, like, I think just about anyone with taste, I hated the prequels and thought that Darth Maul was basically them throwing away a cool character design. So to see something actually done with that character and to see some sort of development and backstory would be great.
Yeah, because beyond sticking him in one big fight at the end, they didn't do Jack with him in the... is it okay for me to say Jack, Mike? Is that okay?
I think that's okay. This point, I think the kids have gone to bed.
Okay. There wasn't really much done. And that's one of the most impressive things about this one is you can tell there's a lot of undercurrents going on with Darth Maul. And you get to kind of see maybe some contributing factors to that. And so it was pretty good.
It sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to check this out.
And it's on IMDb too. So you got, you know, when your student film's on IMDb, you did a good student film, I think.
Excellent recommendation, sir. Unfortunately, I don't know if mine's going to live up to it because I had a little bit of a conflict, internal struggle coming up with the recommendation for this week. I was very... You seemed a little bit concerned there.
Yeah.
So I was going to recommend something, and then I realized, you know what? It wouldn't be right of me to do that because there was a little bit of a subtle plug in there for something that I was involved in. So I decided not to make that recommendation. For anyone who's curious, that recommendation would have been that they check out the movie Faces of Snuff, which comes out November 22nd on DVD. It's available everywhere for pre-order, and it's going to be in stores. But I'm not going to do that because I guest directed a scene in that movie, and members of my band appear in that movie. So it wouldn't be cool of me to do that. That would be like a conflict of interest. Even though I'm not recommending it for myself, I'm recommending it for the other talent that was involved in bringing that film together. It just wouldn't be right of me to do that. So I'm not going to recommend it.
So you're not recommending Faces of Snuff on DVD available now?
November 22nd, which by the time this podcast is available, maybe now.
Pretty close. It'll be close at least.
Yeah, so, somewhere around there.
So no real conversation around November 22nd as a key date if you were interested in getting Faces of Snuff. We're not going to talk about that.
Let's just say you had watched our Halloween special or the Sharknado special that we did with Shane Ryan. You would not be interested in knowing that Shane Ryan put this project together. It's the first film that he and I were both involved in like 8 or 9 years since we had done Amateur Porn Star Killer 3. And we're actually working on another film together already. Faces of Snuff at this point where we're recording this isn't even released yet because that's November 22nd that comes out on DVD. And I could have used that to parlay a plug to our next film, which is another film in the Amateur Porn Star Killer series that's being resurrected, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I have more self-control than that.
Okay. Well, I think it's the right call because I think kind of bringing up that Faces of Snuff comes out on November 22nd probably would not be the kind of thing that we'd bring up more than once on the show.
No, absolutely not. And that would also be on IMDb as well. So if anybody wanted to check that out, but
okay. Would they search on Faces of Snuff?
Yeah, you could search Faces of Snuff and you'll see me listed as a director and you can link to my page and check out my other movies like Evil Bong and Craig and Horror Vault and stuff like that. But whatever, we're not here to talk about any of that.
They could do that before November 22nd if they wanted to.
You could do that before November 22nd because on November 22nd they'll be busy watching their DVD of Faces of Snuff.
That's right. If they hear about it.
If for some reason somebody was to bring it up.
Hopefully someone will. You know, we can cross.
You know, I hope so. You know, word of mouth. But my recommendation, since I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that route and do the obvious thing and plug something that I might be tangentially involved in. I'm going to go ahead and recommend another really cool independent horror film called the WNUF Halloween Special. Are you familiar with this film at all?
I am not. I'm just surprised you weren't recommending IMDb and a search.
Yeah. My recommendation is you search Faces Snuff on IMDb. No, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that at all.
Use the Google.
So I'm recommending a movie called the WNUF Halloween Special. It's really cool. It is a perfect recreation of like late 1980s, early 1990s local TV news broadcasts. It's I want to say like 80 or 90 minute film. And in it, it's somebody putting in a VHS tape and watching a home recording of a Halloween special from a local station. And it's their regular news report that goes into a special report on a supposedly haunted house from the area. It's really cool. I'm not going to give away any twists of anything that happens in the movie. But what's neat about it is it's like a perfect recreation of that time and of that period. Because not only do you get like the full half hour news broadcast and then the special afterwards, there's commercials in between all of this. And they made separate commercials for every commercial break, and it's such great 80s nostalgic local commercial stuff that they do on them. It's just such a great thing to watch visually. It's really a lot of fun. I don't know if there's nothing in there that I would say, you know, kids shouldn't watch. There might be a couple of curse words. I'm not going to repeat them, obviously, because this is a clean show. There might be a couple of curse words right at the very end, but younger kids might not really get the humor of the film, the way that somebody who actually remembers these type of broadcasts would, especially when it comes to the commercials and things like that.
Was there a commercial for Faces of Snuff?
No, because that comes out this November 22nd.
Oh, that's right. Well, of course, there couldn't have been.
There couldn't have been back then.
I'd have a time machine or something like that. And available, what are the different...
So it was actually originally released in 2013, I believe, and it was released as a limited edition VHS to stick with the theme of watching this as on a tape that somebody recorded off of TV. And then it was also released on DVD as well. But this year, it seems like it's really started. Over the past couple of years, it started to build up a following because it was initially released. There wasn't a whole lot of fanfare. It was well reviewed, but you wouldn't have really known it existed unless you happened upon one of those reviews. In the last year or so, though, I've seen a lot of articles that mention this movie as being something that they see being like a Halloween classic. in years to come, because it's building up, starting to really build up a fan base behind it. And I recommended it to a number of people this year. You can actually get a digital copy of it. I got a digital copy off of Amazon, and I want to say it was like $8.99 or $9.99 or something like that. So it's reasonably priced as well. If you don't want to, you know, wait for a DVD to ship or hunt down one of the VHS tapes, because I'm sure they're all gone by now. I believe that was only a run of about 300 copies. And I had nothing to do with this movie, so this is not a plug.
Still trying to wrap my head around that. So, what year was this set in?
I want to say it was like the late 80s, but I can't remember the exact year that it's set in the film. But it's great. It has an entire like half hour local news broadcast with commercials. And then it goes into an hour long TV special about a local haunted house hosted by one of the news people. And I remember real specials like this and newscasts like this as a kid growing up watching this stuff. And like I said, what really sells me on it is the commercials in between everything. That was the coolest part. And the friends that I've recommended this to in the past year, that was what really stood out for them as well, that they produced all of these little commercials to go and be peppered throughout this movie.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, because it becomes like little mini, obviously super mini movies in there,
right?
Just little creative opportunities to do some stuff.
Yeah, it almost becomes like an anthology in that sense, because you get the news broadcast, you get the Halloween special, and then all the commercials in between, but present it like you're watching something that was, you know, an hour and a half of live TV that somebody taped and gave you a VHS tape of.
That sounds really, really cool. So
it's a really fun movie. There is, you know, a horror twist to it and everything, but I don't want to give anything away. That's why I don't want to go too much into the plot line of it. But you get a local news broadcast, which goes into a local news special about a supposed haunted house from the town where the news broadcast takes place.
Do you have any idea why? So I find something like this super enjoyable to watch, particularly when someone kind of nails the execution of, we're going to set this at a certain time frame and there's an authenticness to it, or they really kind of recreate the ambience of whatever that particular time frame was. When that's done well, I don't know what it is about it, but you think about Mad Men, Stranger Things, and I guess even really portions of Lost, when they kind of pulled back and were doing some time slip stuff. When I'm just trying to figure out what is so appealing about when people do that well. But boy, I tell you, for me at least, when somebody does that well, I eat it up. I just love it. I think it's great.
I mean, I can honestly, and I love Stranger Things and I love Mad Men, and I can honestly say that this might be the best recreation of a specific time frame that I've ever seen, because I know exactly what they were shooting for with this, because this is the era I grew up in watching TV and watching Halloween specials and local news specials and all that kind of stuff. And it is so perfect down to the commercials and everything else. What's interesting to me, it's funny that you said that, because like, so with this and with Stranger Things, calling back to the 80s, that for me, I like the whole nostalgia aspect of it, but I love Mad Men, and that is before my time. That's a generation that I didn't live through. So I was born in 82. So Mad Men takes place entirely before my actual birth. And I love that show. So it's interesting, because it's not nostalgic for me, but I still love that they so perfectly recreated a specific time frame.
So you've never known a world without special forces in it, Alice Cooper.
That is true. Yes.
Do you realize how blessed you are?
I did not have to suffer through that pre-special forces world.
At dark times before special forces.
But yeah, if you enjoy that kind of stuff, I have personally never seen something that is as perfect in the execution as this is at creating a very specific time frame.
So we got a couple good recommendations there. Mine's free. So you can, you know, depending how the budget is, maybe do mine first. Or if you're a little flush right now, go out and secure this. I'm going to, because it does sound, I'm super excited. It sounds very interesting. I'd like to see that. So a couple entertainments there.
It's a lot of fun. And like I said, if you're interested in picking up a digital copy of it, you can grab that for under $10.
Yeah.
100, completely worth the cost of admission as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Social media recommendations. I've got one.
I do not have one this week.
So I don't make it a habit to recommend lawyers very, very often. But I'm going to go ahead and recommend one this week. Not for actual legal help or anything like that. Not that Mike and I don't mind getting that from time to time. But it's a gentleman I've been connected with on Twitter for a while. We happen to work in the same facility. He has earned his recommendation from me by this past week. I was heading down a set of escalators, and he was just passing me by, and I spotted him, and we needed to talk about something. And so I'm not an intelligent man, so I'm on an escalator, and I'm a good 4 or 5 steps now deep on the escalators going down. I'm going down. He's up on the next floor. So he sees me actually turn and begin the thought process to say, I'm going to be able to travel back up the escalator through some superhuman feat to get up there. And he immediately discouraged me and said, tell you what, go down. I'll catch up with you. And so he came down and do that. So that's a nice little story. But the reason I want to recommend him is he followed that up on Twitter within the next 30 minutes going like, I don't know why I told him to stop, you know, basically, which I thought was just perfect. It's like, I totally ruined a great opportunity to see him fail miserably because Kelly's not nimble from there, which is true from there.
So if ever there was a YouTube opportunity, that was it.
That was, yeah, he left some great entertainment on the table there. The fact that he publicly expressed remorse about that almost immediately afterwards, I thought, that gets you my social media recommendation for the week. He's a good guy.
Is he a potential Squat Cobbler guest in the future? Because I do think we both need legal advice.
I think it would be good to have the relationship. I think it would be wise for us to cultivate that. I'm gonna think I don't think he's a guest on the Fuckisode. I don't think
not on the Fuckisode.
I don't think.
If ever we needed a lawyer, though, it might be the Fuckisode.
Yeah, but I don't think that's gonna lock him into. He's not gonna become Team Squat. I think if that's his major exposure,
we gotta ease him in. You can't drop somebody into the Fuckisode and expect them to be able to hold their own. I get that.
Yeah. It's only common sense. So his name's Todd. He's, like I said, he's an incredibly good guy. He's funny, and he's just a nice guy. And outside of not realizing it had been a lot more fun to watch me kill myself, he's really smart. And he is at TCHAMPMAN80. So T Chapman 80 at T Chapman 80. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter. He's a good guy. And like I said, we had a nice little exchange this week. And I said, that just made me laugh when he did that. I said, I need to make sure more people know about this guy because he's fun.
Now, is he aware that he's getting the Squat Cobbler bump right now?
No, obviously, when the thousands upon thousands of followers come, he'll say, what happened? And then I'll be able to explain the squat bump to him. And with that,
I think that pretty much wraps up the episode, unless you have anything else to add.
I'm not going to talk about Faces of Snuff. I think we've established that.
No, get that comes out November 22nd be pre-ordered now for $9.99 from most major sites. Yeah.
Those are a lot of the things we're not going to mention or recommend at this point in time, because that would be blatant self-promotion. Right.
And I wouldn't do that. I would never. I'm above whoring myself out on this show.
Would be out of character. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Dead Girls yet.
No, see, I wasn't even going to mention Dead Girls, the second single off that album, which happens to be the title track featuring Vex on guest vocals. That'll be coming out soon, but I'm not going to mention it.
Alrighty. And what I will mention is thanks for everybody for listening.
Notice how Kelly shamelessly plugged his work, though.
This podcast? Yes, Mike. Yes, I am going to.
No, weren't you at work when you had your run-in with the attorney?
Yes, but...
See? Just shamelessly plugging what you do.
But let's say, you know, I worked at a donut factory. Nowhere in the process did I say, and boy, we were all enjoying the company's donuts that everyone else should buy.
I can't help it that you're not good at doing these plugs. You still try, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll go with that. It was a failed plug on my part. Ridiculous. Okay. I'm gonna say goodbye. Thank everybody for listening. I will plug Squat Cobbler. Hope you're listening to it and nurture and support. We really do appreciate those of you who are hanging out with us. Don't ever hesitate to throw a review on iTunes on the good or evil sides of this podcast. the stuff with Mel.
Which one's which?
Duh. I mean, so we've got Mel's influence. It's a slightly better and lucid world. And then for the nurture and support side of the equation, and then then you've got Squat Cobbler World, and apparently quite the episode coming up for Squat Cobbler. If you do go to iTunes, we'd love it if you give us a review. You will also notice it's kind of fun to look at our feed, because what you'll be able to see is that we attempt to rotate between Nurture and Support and Squat Cobbler each week. And you'll be able to tell that probably the easiest by the red explicit box, which will occur every other episode. Very strong synchronization with the release of new Squat Cobbler material. So there's that.
Did we earn our explicit tag on this episode, do you think?
I believe we did.
I did say dick and fuck a couple of times.
Yeah, and I said pissy, you know. So,
well, that's what pushed us over the edge, obviously.
Clearly. I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm not saying, listen, it was a gray area with me. It was a little murky, could go either way. But then you jumped in with the P word.
That's right.
Sent us right over into explicit land.
Yep, that's what I did. But review us, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again in a couple weeks.
Thanks, everybody.
If you don't like what I say, you have the choice. You can turn me off.
I love the Monster Dog songs.